former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury with AM 790 in Houston. Sean, I need you to help me calm down a little bit. Can you help me, please?
I'll do what I can, buddy.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Like, I have been, for years, I've been a guy who says, I don't believe any hype. Prove it. Show me. Show me. And this year with the Browns, I've gone completely the other way. I've been over the top, my hype. I picked them to win 11 games. I'm going bananas. And then Baker just made a comment in an article the other day where he said the hype is real. And that just made me a tiny bit nervous in my confidence. When he says the hype is real, I worry because it's not real until they win, right? They haven't accomplished anything as a team yet. So it made me a little nervous that maybe he doesn't 100% get it, that they haven't proven anything yet. I'm just being too nervous.
Yeah, but since he's been there, they have. And I get why you're nervous. I mean, heck, until it's a tested, you know, brand, a little bit last year, but another new play. You know, they've added new players this year. I get why. I think everybody is excited. I mean, it's a Browns fan or believes in this team now. And, you know, the optimism and everything. Of course, you still got to go play the games. But don't you want a guy? What if he came out and said, you know what, we're still 9 wins away, man? What if he came out? This is, and then when I hear like a national broadcaster continue to get in where he's renting space in their head, which I don't understand, but why great players don't change. They adapt and they adjust. Why would I want Baker Mayfield to be me? Why would I want Baker Mayfield to act like Rodgers? Or, you know what?
I agree.
If he's in that locker room,
yeah,
he sees the work. We hear about it. We go watch practice with our city where we're at and watch the pro teams practice. But we don't know. And Denny Green said an interesting thing to us when I was playing in Minnesota. He goes, your families, your girlfriends, your wives, your kids, they don't know what goes on in this locker room. And regardless, you go home and talk to them, they never will. And he's right. No matter how close we as fans or media think we are, you don't know deep down. We just don't. And I've been in locker rooms, and I still don't know. But I'll tell you what. The second Baker Mayfield starts to come out and act different, it will go back to old, I mean, the last 2 decades of Cleveland Browns. He is a culture changer. Because what happens, it becomes just like winning, losing as well, and talk that you throw out into space or out into the universe. You start to believe it. The mind memorizes how what you tell it. And I know that sounds cliche and cheesy, but man, I'm telling you, it's true. Now, you still got to go play. You still got to prepare. You still got to do all those things. I get what you're saying because you're treading lightly because of the history of the last 2 decades. But isn't it finally nice? And you know what, guys? I don't know if the hype matches. The hype says Super Bowl champions, but I'll tell you this. They're almost meshing. I think this team, if they win 11 games, they're in the tournament. And mm-hmm. if they get in the tournament, you tell me you don't want number 6 running your show?
I do.
Confidence?
Yeah.
All
right.
I know I got to talk you off the ledge, brother, but I personally don't want change. I want adaption like you do with defenses or in your life or whatever. I'm all in on this, man. I'm all in on the hype is real. So whatever that hype is.
All right. Well, I've been leading the hype train here, and it just did the comment. I don't know what it was. Made me nervous. Made me a pinch nervous.
Why
but you got me feeling better. You cheered me up.
Clemson and Alabama, you know, I know that the history doesn't say Clemson or Alabama.
Yeah.
But they got 2 quarterbacks. Give them a legitimate chance to win it. Why not Baker Mayfield?
There you go.
I'm all in, brother.
You got me feeling good.
Sean, let's go back to the first preseason game where the Browns, you know, they come out, they go 2-minute. Baker goes, I think, 5 of 7 or 6 of 7 and has the touchdown throw to Higgins. It was just one series. But how about Freddie Kitchens going 2-minute offense, working situational football? Now, some people thought it was like Bush League or something. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, they're working on something. It's the preseason. Do whatever the hell you want if you're Freddie Kitchens. I loved it. I thought it was a nice glimpse of what we could see from the Browns this season. What'd you make of the short series?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And we overreact to good and bad in preseason, guys. If he would have gone 1 of 6, everybody would have said, well, the hype's not real. Like, really? It's a preseason game. They're not showing you a whole bunch of looks. What better chance than on a Sunday or a Thursday or a Monday the opening week of the season? Why not in the first preseason game? Let's get no huddle. Let's change the tempo. Let's play fast. Then the next time they may huddle up. Then the next time. See, what you're trying to do is create deception for a defense. And you know what else Freddie's doing? He's putting stuff on tape. So other teams watch it. So they have something else they have to. You guys know this about coordinators, that you could run a reverse in week 1 that the one reverse all season, and in week 10, that defensive coordinator will spend 3 hours of a preparation time worried about one play that may have gained 4 yards because he's afraid that they'll over-pursue. That's the habit of coordinators. That's what they do. So you put it out there, you want to see how your team deals with it, play fast. That won't be their regular tempo, but I don't – what's Bush League about testing what you've worked on in the practice? I don't understand society. That's why we call it friggin' practice. You're
That's
practicing
right.
against another team. When else am I going to use it? What if it doesn't work the opening Sunday? Well, we never practiced it. I'm always under the belief you don't run anything that you haven't worked on or that your quarterback or your football team feels comfortable with. They sure as hell look pretty comfortable in one series or one drive to me.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, AM790 in Houston. Sean, speaking of Houston, Duke Johnson is now a member of the Texans. I was disappointed to see him go. But obviously the Browns felt like they had to move on from him. But in terms of the trade itself, the fact that the Browns probably get a third-round pick when no pick higher than a fourth has been traded for a running back since Trent Richardson, to me, is a great trade by the Browns. What did you know, because all he has to do is play 10 games, and he's never missed a game in his career, so he's likely to do it, and the Browns get a third-round pick. What did you think of that trade, and what do you think of Duke Johnson of the Texans? Could he end up being their starter?
Yeah, here's what first of all, I think it's a win for both. A team that, you know, running back-wise, with them getting rid of Foreman, Lamar Miller, who's a solid back, guys, but he doesn't have a lot of wiggle and really doesn't dominate you in the passing game. Duke brings quite the opposite. He can give you wiggle, he can give you in the second, and he creates some mismatch problems in the passing game. Hell, if this guy plays spot starter and gets his 15 to 18 touches a game or whatever that might be, he'll catch 75 balls, and they need it. Watson needs a guy to lean on, especially QT hurt again. So on the Texans side, it's a big win. It's a big win because they need a depth, and they also need a guy that, if this goes right, I can actually see him, because they don't want Lamar Miller touching the ball 300 times, guys. He can't keep up with that. So it diminishes his, which may make him more productive, but also gives you a completely different threat in the passing game who can still run the football without touching it 30 times a game in Duke Johnson. Love the move for the Texans. On the other side, I love it for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Good, you're getting a third-round pick unless something crazy happens, because he's going to play, and he's going to play 10 games, and you're going to get a third-rounder. So, again, you're building an asset. You got three deep, and as long as they can hold down the fort until Kareem gets there depth-wise and Chubb's healthy, you get a third-round asset. You get a guy who could be a difference-maker in a draft, and you gave up a guy who was a little bit disgruntled. And quite frankly, think about how far the Browns have come. Your third-string running back possibly becomes the Texan starter. Look how depth has changed for Cleveland. It's a win for both teams.
Sean, the Browns left yesterday to go to Indianapolis. They'll practice with the Colts here the next 2 days, and then they play them in the preseason game number 2 on Saturday. How important are these practices? Do you feel like the practices potentially are more important than actual game reps on Saturday, where you got the ones going up against the ones of the Colts and seeing what these guys can do in certain situations?
Far more. I'd rather have 3 or 4 of those, 5 of those during training camp than I would 4 preseason games. Give me 2 preseason games. These things matter. You get 3 to 4 practices, depending on what it is. You do go ones-on-ones, and you go longer, and you get more time, and you see a few different things because they're willing to try. You may see some blitzes. You're not going to give away a whole bunch in the game. You're just not. And so the ones, for the most part, if you have a clue, and most organizations seem to, I'm not running Baker out there. I'm not running if Luck was healthy. They're not running out there and running force. You know, we're not throwing 25 balls and risking that. But on the practice field, you do. These are, to me, far more important. Now, for the guy who's trying to be the 49th or 52nd guy on the roster, what you do on special teams in a game, or do you go make a play? Do you elevate when there's people in the stands and there's 60,000 people? Those things matter. But for me, I've learned over my career as a player myself, and evaluation and talking to coaches, you learn far more about a player in those practice against the other team than you do in preseason game 4 or 1 when you're getting 7 snaps and going to the sideline. I love scrimmaging against the team you're going to play later in the week. I'm a big fan.
Hey, Sean, I wanted to read you this quote. I don't know if you heard. Did you see Jerry Jones' quote on whether he's worried about being able to sign Prescott, Elliott, and Cooper? Did you see it by any chance?
If it happened in the last 3 hours, I haven't. If it's talking about the running back, you know, gives them, can carry the full load. But I know he said he made an offer to the 3, so read it.
Yeah, and listen to this quote. Maybe you can figure out what the hell he's talking about. I don't know. He said, picture you were a driver of a car and you had a wreck and your hand was almost severed off, but you didn't understand your anatomy. You look down, you're spurting blood. You open the door and run to the woods and either die bleeding to death or shock. The educated man looks down, knows his anatomy, squeezes, and knows his best chance is to wait for help. That's because he's been there a lot and done that. So I'm squeezing and waiting for help. You have any idea what the hell he's talking about?
Absolutely not. What is Jerry? He's giving us all kinds of quotes. What did he say? It's like trying to circumcise him. Trying to figure out that quote. I'll use a quote from Jerry Jones. Trying to figure out what that means is like circumcising a mosquito. Remember when he said that?
That's right.
I am a monkey fan when he said that, too. He comes up with quotes all the time. I don't have any idea what that is, but I know it's hard to figure out, kind of like circumcising a mosquito. So I'll use a quote for his quote. No clue, brother. No clue.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had to bet your entire life savings on Ezekiel Elliott being on the team for week one for the Cowboys, which way would you bet?
I'd bet it all that he will be. I'd bet it all that both him and Prescott not only will be, but will be with contracts in hand or close. Yeah. They've made offers to all three. Cooper's really, he seems like the most, I don't want to say casual, but the most, okay, it's okay, I'll get my next year guy. So he'll be third in line, I think, because it's not a rush. I mean, the other two seem to be a bit more urgent. And no, Dak, while underrated, is not a $40 million guy. He's not going to get anywhere near it. But he is going to make $30 million plus, guys. There's somebody better. Yeah, there's quarterbacks that are better, but it's called timing, man. Who are you going to get if you get rid of Prescott? He's going to get paid. Zeke's going to get paid. I'll be shocked if by week one of the season that both of them haven't decided, here's my contract, here's my pay. I don't see either one. Dak's definitely not missing a game. I don't see Zeke missing a game, and I sure as hell know Cooper is going to let it happen. Eventually, all three will be in Dallas Cowboy uniforms, and all three will play this year, and all three will play beyond 2019 in a Cowboy uniform.
Sean, great stuff as always. I agree with you. I think he's going to be back too. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the time.
You guys. Thank you.
All right, Sean Salisbury.